You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
In her eyes tonight, there's a glow tonight. They're so bright, they can light what I'm new tonight. She's so gracious, so vivacious. She's not seen me. Blessed little house, clicked to the core, acting out her fuss. With a rollicking, frolicking ball. She's such fun tonight. She's a treat tonight. You could spread her out, spread. She's so sweet.
When everyone you have ever loved is finally gone. When everything you have ever wanted is finally done with. When all of your nightmares are for a time obscured as by a shining brainless
welcome
beacon.
To Axe Grind,
or a blinding eclipse,
the hardcore podcast.
Terrible shapes.
I'm Patrick.
World.
I'm Bob.
And I'm Tom.
We got sponsors, bros.
Wow, getting right to it. Thank you to Closed Casket Activities.
Yeah, sincerely, yes.
Thank you to Live a Lie.
No joke.
Thank you to Run for Cover Records.
I mean it.
Thank you to Convulse Records.
Say it with my chest.
Mm, these are all alternate titles for Self-Defense Family Records. let's start with Run for Cover Records, runforcoverrecords.com. They're putting out a new self-defense release at some point in the next 6 months or 12 months, Patrick?
LP is going to be, let's say, 12 to be safe, but mm-hmm. new release is going to be...
That's why I said new release.
Impending.
Mm. Is it going to be imposing?
It's going to, well, you guys have heard it. You sound, it's definitely, upsetting.
No, it's a good release. So shout out to that. Shout out to, Run for Cover for continuing to support your artistic endeavors. Let's also talk a little bit though about how Run for Cover is like a label of champions. Mm. You know, notwithstanding current company, they put up records and bands that sort of stand the test of time. You could call them pillars, if you will, sort of shifts. I mean, certainly people would recognize things like Title Fight or Tiger's Jaw as earlier pillars, things like Turnover and Citizen, long time pillars. Right now, I'm going to focus on two newer releases you've heard us talk about, but I think are those kind of like defining pieces. Fiddlehead, Death is Nothing to Us, which is named after a Shaquille O'Neal quote, and Citizen Calling the Dogs, which is not named after a Shaquille O'Neal quote, to my best knowledge. Citizen, long time, but Fiddlehead has been too. Third LP with Run for Cover, kind of sick. Shout out to them. And both these bands did some shows together recently. Both these bands are out there grinding. Fiddlehead is wrapping up. They're sort of like prolonged record release tour where
right,
they did
the U.S. tour. That
yeah, yeah.
Done in 8 cities, 3 yeah, months. Yeah.
East Coast, Midwest, West Coast. Those shows all looked awesome, you know? Yeah. So excited for them. Excited for how much people are really taking to the new record. It's very cool. It's one of these things that, hey, maybe we'll talk about this. Bands with long careers today. It's just cool to see. It's cool to actually now go back and listen to the first Fiddlehead LP and compare it to this one, which
you
I did
really
last week. Right? You can hear it. It's there's a lot of nods and there's obviously same band, but there's definitely some changes, which is cool. I love to hear that. And with Citizen, we talked about this not long ago, a band who's allowed their sound to evolve over time, both in natural and organic ways based on the inklings of the band, you know, what might not feel like a smooth trajectory to an outsider or just a listener can artistically feel really natural to the people in the band. So shout out to them. Shout out to Fiddlehead. Everybody go get Calling the Dogs by Citizen and Death is Nothing to Us by Fiddlehead. Yeah. A shout out to the new Anxious single that is out there. It's only available as a flexi from them on tour. So I bet RFC gets some later on, but yeah, it's a good track. Really good track, actually. So, cool. I rambled on Run for Cover. I'm going to let you guys take the next one. Well, I'll be in on this one too. Convulse Records, convulserecords.com. Have you guys been hearing as much about the Scowl Military Gun MS Paint tour as I have?
A little bit. Yeah, it's been like the talk of every town.
Yeah.
Shows are selling out. All the bands are doing great. It's like a pack. It's like a Clash of the Titans because like all three bands are really kind of pulling their own weight, kind of thing.
Yeah, 100%.
And all three records all three bands are like, not to sound like a Zoolander quote, but very hot right now.
Oh,
it's like so a perfect storm of like three bands that are like popping all on tour together.
I feel like there's this funny old school energy where there might be people going to these shows unfamiliar with any of the three bands and just catching the vibe, like being like, oh, maybe I've heard of these bands. Maybe I know a couple songs. Maybe I saw the whole thing with Scowl, or, you know, maybe I like a couple Military Gun tracks, and getting exposed to the bands in a live environment. And for my money, you know, I don't know, MS Paint, Military Gun, even Scowl's newer material maybe falls more in an adjacent category than like hardcore for the hardcore. But I still feel like in the live setting, you get all that energy. And that's a pretty good way to expose yourself to this stuff.
Yeah. It's a perfect, you know, it's three bands. It's, you know, maybe one opener. It's very fucking brief and succinct.
Yeah.
The bands all bring it. So you're never bored. It's a great tour. It's a great tour. And I mean, they've been, you know, sold out two nights in Brooklyn against, you know, other shows and stuff like that. So it's super impressive. And, you know, I think with Military Gun, they're getting, you know, to go back to Convulse, like they're getting so much attention for the new record that, like, the Convulse records are probably like, you know, their newer fans probably don't even realize that those things exist yet, you know, anymore.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, especially the All Roads Lead to the Gun stuff, that's kind of a great spot to start at with Military Gun. If people haven't, checked out that material and you're interested, or you enjoy Military Gun, you need to hear that.
That band hit the ground running.
Yeah.
They didn't put out garbage in there. Like, oh, they figured it out.
No, they didn't. And
like,
it wasn't
the rip.
Yeah. You know, that's interesting, because I was actually thinking about that the other day, that we're seeing the growth of bands much more on paper in front of us, kind of documented in a way that we hadn't before. And we talked about it a little bit, but Military Gun kind of came out as a formed entity, if you will. So shout out to them. Shout out to
They didn't even need to go to Kentucky for 1 year to like get their basketball acumen together. They like literally jumped from the random high school in Florida to like,
yeah, right to the pros.
You know, first team NBA 2 years in. You know,
yeah, that's some real Tracy McGrady shit here. and the MS Paint LP Post American still available. The repress just kind of hit, so make sure you go get that. Check it out. If there are dates left on the tour, check it out. Please do. Shout out to Convulse, convulserecords.com. Patrick, anything to chime in on our ad reads?
Just wanted to say to mix it, I'm going to leave a little, a murder mystery, a little Agatha Christie.
Ooh.
Someone we know as a podcast, we know this gentleman. He texted me earlier, one of the bands that we've discussed today, he said, you know, that band's name, So Bad.
Yep. Yep.
Poo-poo band.
Mm-hmm.
Described sitting through their set this week and said it was poo-poo. So I'll leave that open, that little bit of negativity from the negativity demon who
it's a Monday morning and I just get the fresh taste of haterade in the mouth. It's like,
oh my god, this lover was guzzling.
I know we got a few haters in our DMs and texts. We love you all. We love to hear it. Shout out. Oh, also email us at axegrindpodcast@gmail.com. I forget sometimes that we don't promote that a lot and say it up front, but then people hit me. You're like, how do I message you? axthegrindpodcast@gmail.com. Hit us. If you've got any leads on real estate in Las Cruces, let's go. Guys, how you doing? How you feeling?
Fantastic. It's a little late for me. Usually we do this in my morning. I don't know how you fellas do this nighttime.
It sucks. Yeah, no shit. This is what you call a job, Patty.
Yo, you know what? It's interesting. After about 9 p.m. is my, like, I don't talk now time, right? Like, it's quiet time for me. So, yeah, I understand. It is. It's, I kind of have to, like, rev up the engine for second shift of the day when we record at night. This morning thing is not too bad. I got to say, I'm with it.
Bob's a morning guy. I'm a late night guy.
That's true. Yeah, I'm up. I was up at 4, but.
Right. Talking all day to children.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, and then you take an hour off and then you talk all night to children for 3 hours about hardcore, but whatever.
Yeah, you know what? Easton's just not as interested in talking about anti-CMEX as some of the other fellas here. So we're going to talk about the thing we were going to talk about, but we're not going to talk about it because we talked about new music and we want to talk about new music, but we thought about talking about some new music that we settled in on and we were like, oh man. But what I can promise is that we have some new music episodes coming up because I sort of feel, I don't know about you guys, I feel like it's time for some people to have some new favorite new bands. Like, it's about that time.
Yeah, I would say it is that time.
And there's a lot of great ones right now. I'm loving it. Man, straight up, I love seeing how well Mindforce does. It makes me so happy every time I see it. I love it. But I also think we need some new favorite bands, and we're going to do that soon. So, because I've been hearing some music that isn't hitting me, and I did the time-tested formula of, all right, if you're not hearing what you want to hear, dig around, dig deeper, find something. I found some really good stuff, so I'm excited. I'm excited to share. Today we get kind of a rambler. Patrick, you had kind of a, well, we all had one, but why don't you kick us off? We'll get started on your angle first.
All right. So a friend of this podcast who is known for being if not a sweet guy, then, you know, a thoughtful one, thought-filled one. We're in a conversation the other day where he wasn't hating, but he said something more hurtful than the worst hater could ever direct at a band. We were discussing a band that hasn't hit for us in a while. Mm. And he said, more bands need to practice the art of breaking up. And I got thinking about that because I'm the guy who I want everybody to express themselves until the microphone is taken out of their hands by their primary caregiver in a old folks home because it's time to go to bed, grandpa.
Because that's a courtesy that you want extended to you.
Exactly right. That's exactly right.
That's the only reason.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? Tom is correct. I'm not that considerate a person.
People deserve to be able to really, you know, get their feelings out there. You're just like, please don't take it away from me. Please don't.
Well, you know,
like, I'll let this other guy ramble if you just let me ramble.
Yeah, that's right. You're right. But I also want to put let's throw some sugar on it too and say that there's an idea that the continued expression of an artist you appreciate is something that all three of us have expressed, like, oh, that's kind of cool to see that growth and change over time. But maybe not always.
Yeah, maybe not always. And to put kind of, if not a positive spin, then at least a one that makes it worth talking about, not just sitting here going, yeah, man, there's some bands that need to fucking hang it. But to make it a little bit more dynamic a conversation, where are you guys at on the excitement of new bands and new things versus kind of the, not comfort, that's not the word, but kind of you're rooting for, like, this podcast in general, there's very little behind the scenes. Everybody, here's a little taste of behind the scenes.
Mm.
Before this, we hit record, we can talk pretty frankly about bands that, you know, maybe we're not as rough on the podcast, although we typically carry the same sentiment, if not the same severity. But we're very, almost nothing do we wish bad luck, right? And
there's an awful lot of like, oh, unfortunate, oh no, yeah. Like, yeah.
But we want to see people continue doing the thing that makes them happy. And that's why it caught me, I was forced to think about it when this particular band that this gentleman said, yeah, maybe they should think about it. I can't provide a counter argument. It really is time for this band to stop what they're doing, if just for a few years, so they can get their fucking head straight and come back with something that seems inspired, both, you know, something they would enjoy, I presume, and something that I can goddamn listen to for more than 5 minutes. And I guess, again, to make this positive, where are you guys at personally? Not on no specific band. Are you more excited about new stuff right now, or are you more thrilled at the idea of longstanding bands having a? I'm not talking about the legacy acts right now. I'm talking
current have been stayed current.
Yeah, I'm talking about bands that just have, let's say, two LPs or whatever. Something that's still impressive for a hardcore band, no doubt. But are you waiting for anybody to come into their own and really own a space, or are you more excited about the truly new bands right now?
Tom Stardust.
I mean, upon first blood, Pat's question changed a little bit in there, but like, I would think, am I waiting? Like, what am I more psyched on? Like, some brand new band coming out and like blowing the doors off, or like another like awesome like TUI record? Mm. I'll probably take the TUI record.
See, that's an interesting one right there.
Because like, they're a guarantee. I know, like, you know what I mean? Like, do I want to try this new restaurant that I don't really like, or I can go to this spot that I know is always good?
Oh.
Okay. So
maybe get a different sandwich.
So okay. So that's an interesting perspective. I have a counterpoint, but I'd like you to go first, Bob.
Yeah, no, for me, I typically like that new, but... And so in this moment, that's I think over the last few years, we've seen this. We've seen the bands grow and succeed and then succeed again. And that's the ultimate, right? That's really awesome to see it, to see a band start with a good demo and then like maybe a banging EP and then an LP that surpasses that. Holy crap. And then another record, LP, EP, whatever, that lives up. That holds and continues and maybe even takes them to another level. That's really amazing to watch. And that kind of arc I always enjoy, especially when I step back from it. But on a pure excitement level, I really like when that new thing hits. I kind of enjoy seeing a new band. Now, that's a hard bar. You know, I'm not on... when you're young... Newness is almost everything, right? Like everything feels a little new. It's an old band, it's new to you. It's a new band, it's new to you. Now you're getting to see that band live. That's new to you. Amazing, you know? But when the band now, I mean, you know, it's funny, Tom, you use Trapped Under Ice for the longstanding example. In 2008, when the Trapped Under Ice demo came out, it was great. Hit like a ton of bricks. But then I remember seeing... like grainy, bad 2008 cell phone videos of TUI in some basement in Baltimore or some shit. And it looked awesome. And then I saw him live and it was like, yep, this band is crazy. And, you know, you rinse repeat that for a lot of bands over time. But I like that as an example. It immediately took the knocked the wind out of someone's stomach. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, steals the room. I think Spy's done that in recent years. I think there's a lot of bands who just kind of hit the ground running. And I enjoy that. Now, it's sort of a different level where you enjoy to see, like, okay, what does that become? Spy's a good example. Military Gun's a good example. Then you have the other version where it's like Gel. Gel was around for a while and was good. And then they got really good. And then it's like, oh man, this is like a great band. Scowl is a band who went from like, okay, this is cool. All right. You know, people are enjoying it live. It's really fun. All right. And it's like, oh wait, now this is a really good live act. Oh, they're doing something different with their sound. Okay. This is now very interesting. So the long answer to the short question is, in this moment, because we've seen the growth, I just want new things to come out and steal the air in the room.
Okay. Here's my feelings on this. I think it's adorable on one end and plainly irritating on the other when people are so excited about new that they will take dog shit new. And
correct.
I on one hand, look, we've talked about the band Bipolar on this podcast. Is that correct?
Yes.
I urge everybody to go listen to this completely unremarkable piece of 1999 hardcore. Like definably, Bob doesn't like the term, definably new school hardcore. And it nobody remembers this except for the people in the band, and they may not. But at that time, I was so excited for new that I was game for this. I said, yeah, a lot of potential here. Yep. As it turns out, no, probably not, right? But that's how every young person is, and I fully get it, and I'm not going to condemn it. But the flip side is, you know, when you've been around a minute and you hear like the crap version of something and people are excited clearly because it's just there's something new to be excited about. It can be a little discouraging, particularly if people are overlooking stuff that I think is really worthy or flat out ignoring things because it's just not, they're not going to see it, or the dudes are cashed as people, like they're just spent. And
right. So, or they don't sit at the right lunch table. Yeah.
Look, do we, like, I don't know. This is a large question. Is it better to have good, or is it better to have now? You know what I mean?
I'll take good every time.
Well, and that's the question. I mean, it's, man. Because you got to remember, now is quite often, if you're new, now is might subjectively be better than what you don't know. Like you don't know what's better, so that's always going to be the cycle, right? And so that's okay. It's okay, but it, Tom, you know what this reminds me of, and I suffer from it a little bit. I'm a sucker for young draft picks and like rookies and like, oh man, getting excited about the new crop. It's probably got a 20% hit rate. You know what I mean? If you go through the top 10 picks in like the NBA draft or the NFL, you know, the NFL quarterbacks, it's like, yeah, one out of five ends up being decent. And there's a few that are so bad, it's embarrassing. But when there's that one that's good, you're like, see, I knew it. Oh yeah, this one's great.
Right. Pat, so this is the equivalent of like, do you want 6 weeks of insanity? Or another season of Kevin Durant.
See, well, and that's right.
My gut says Durant.
Well, that was my take.
That's the take. Now here's the question.
I'd rather have the guarantee that you know, like, how much stuff that comes out that you're like, oh, this is dope, and then they break up 6 weeks later, or like it wasn't really a band anyway. It was just one or two people that they didn't plan on doing anything.
So that's the thing too, right? Is like there's context to this. When KD came into the league, he wasn't a surefire. He was a pretty good. People knew he was pretty good in Texas. But let's go even more less certain. And this is older, but I know, Tom, you'll get this for sure. Kevin Garnett came out of high school. People had no idea he would be a Hall of Famer. Kobe Bryant came out of high school. He went 13th in that draft.
And got traded.
The Lakers set that up. Samaki Walker, players like that were drafted before him. And for the first few years, you'd be like, oh, this dude shows flashes. He's showing the potential. And when it landed, it's awesome. It's like, yes. But for every band that you like the demo and think it's going to be good, there's five of those situations where the next release, whether it's an EP, full length, is flat on its face, or it's just not as good as you want it to be. That's honestly, it's one of the... when people talk about doing a label and doing putting out records and this and that, like a good friend of mine, especially at the time when the end of a year LP came out, he loved it. He was like, but he had listened to the material before that and he didn't care for it. And he's like, how did you know this would be good? And I was like, well, I thought this song was really good, and so I thought like maybe they'd have other good songs that were really good, and they did. But he had this kind of like, I felt very, very complimented in that moment, because like, how did you know? And it's like, I didn't know. I also put out records by bands that was like, oh, I really like the record they put out first, and this one that I did was good, and I have sentimental attachment, but it's not as good as this record that came out before, you know? So, That's the prospecting thing. So you have to decide, and you don't have to decide, but you should weigh that when you're thinking about these things. Because Tom, you're not wrong. A tenured band doing something where you have a certain expectation that it'll be good, usually that's going to come out better than like, oh, hot new demo thing. Let's see what they do.
Yeah, like they say, you get their whole life to write your first record.
Yeah, I listen, we can go on to something else, because I feel like if I talk about this long enough, I'm gonna not name.
Well, you're missing the end point that is good. Can we get to the end point?
No, sure.
We're talking about end point.
No. Oh,
damn it.
Why did you have to drink?
Jones been dead for 30 years.
We got to do an endpoint episode, just do quotes. Can we do a whole endpoint episode where we do different lyric quotes? But what about, Tom, if Kevin Durant decided to start shooting with his other hand?
Bo Kimble style?
Yeah. Just midway through. Well, what about he just goes full Ben Simmons? Which is to say...
Does he suck too, or is he just...
What about a band that does several records that you're like, okay, this is cool, this is good. Whoa, what happened?
I mean, I think that's
talking about the fine art of the breakup.
That's the rare... That's the chance you take. There's always going to be one step that's one step too far. But sometimes you have to keep going until you go, oh, ran out of steps. And then plunge to your death. I watch a lot of like, hey, I'm hiking like a, you know, fucking Mount Baldy and shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I watch a lot of those YouTube videos, or whatever. So it's like, yeah, it's all good. But, you know, the next, you know, what's the Fugazi, like hoping every slip's not a slide or whatever. Like, I feel like
good.
You go like, you know, there's going to be a step at some point that's like, fuck, ran out of space there. And then you plunge to your death. And I think it's, do you take one last step to like make sure, or do you just keep going? That's until
exactly right. Yeah.
is it better to have
like cut your, like had your bets, cut your losses, and be like, fuck it, I'm out.
Yeah. Is it better to take the one step too far than one step too few?
Right. Cause that next step might be awesome, or it could be the end.
And quite often it's the bold choice, right? Like,
oh, hold on. Let's keep taking this in bizarre directions. what about the band? Okay, so when we hear something like, you know, How We Rock, or I don't know, give me like a second LP that just, I mean, I guess this is everybody. What you know, Antidote, DYS, SSD, like just whatever. We could go down the line, and
Warzone Bullet Hole record.
Yeah, sure. I mean, listen, you could argue Slapshot at certain times. There's 100 bands that you could say this about, but that record, those records that we typically see as motivated by, and sometimes the bands themselves will say it in the postmortem, motivated by some type of misguided, we should go for it, we should be bigger type of thing. And then
like we've conquered hardcore.
Right. And in retrospect, it always looks like this was doomed to fail. This couldn't have worked because it was so cynical. But, and this is where this is me going in every direction tonight. Mm. What about when it works? What about when it's cynical as all hell? Yep. and it hits? How often? I want you guys to start making a list and sending it to the group chat. Because who do you think has done it? And it's undeniable. It worked. Like it was cynical. It was ugly. But for whatever reason, it I saw that text coming, Tom. where it's. You know, it has this happened? A.
Yes.
Yep. What does it say about anything when it does?
Man,
I mean, wouldn't know unless you know behind the scenes baseball stuff.
That's true, but here's what this
like,
is.
No one's going to go like in Revolver and be like, you know what? I figured like I want to be able to pay my rent off of music, so I wrote this record that I don't really love, but. I know people like it.
Well, okay, so that's the thing, right?
No one's going to say that.
I think that a thing that people suffer from, like a total brain disease, is that when they experience success, it's because it had to go that way. And when they experience failure, it's because some bad piece of luck. I think that's like the worst brain disease. It makes you annoying to be around. but I think that that's kind of how people are probably about these records, right? Like if it doesn't work, we can be honest about it. It was cynical. You know, we were motivated, but our heads were in a million different directions. We had people in our ears. We weren't thinking for ourselves and we made a compromised record. That's what you say when it fails 5 years later. That's right. The forensics on it.
Right. The label didn't support it.
Yeah, but when it succeeds,
yes,
the narrative is this was just an organic growth. You know what? This was always the direction we're heading. And like, even if you go back to our first LP, you can hear parts that like track five that could easily have fit on this record with a couple of tweaks to the chorus and another verse. Like it's, yeah. I mean, so my question would be for big success. So for little ones, what are the bands who go backwards after the success point and peak? Like I'd love to hear those. So right. It's Jawbreaker. Dear You was at the time written as a failure, right? People.
Yeah. Really yeah. It was their first major label.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, they had the against me, like, I'll never sign to a major label thing. And then they're like, hey, we're on a major label. So, like, all their fans were pissed. And then this record came out that was not like the other records. But yep. Then in retrospect, it, be, you know.
Is it their biggest? It might be their biggest record, right?
It's the biggest record.
That and 24 Hour. I think people still love 24 Hour Revenge Therapy more. But I think Dear You is like, I mean, they did a tour on that and it did quite well.
So then I go forward to other stuff in the broader spectrum and go like, would Jimmy Eat World's, what is that? Bleed American?
Bleed American, Clarity.
Bleed American,
Clarity. Yeah. Yeah. Well, Bleed American's the first one, right? And then.
No, like, no Clarity's. No,
well, Clarity's the first, okay.
No, there's a record before Clarity that nobody talks about. But then Clarity, Bleed American.
And Bleed American's Futures. The huge one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one that they recorded themselves because they got dropped from a label.
Oh.
Yeah, so Clarity came out, it flopped.
Right.
They were on Capitol Records.
Yep.
They got dropped. They took all the money that they had and recorded Bleed American in full and then chopped it around and it got signed to DreamWorks. And then it became like the fucking one of the bigger rock records of the time.
Right. And I wonder about that. Like, I don't, maybe that's not a good example for this, but I was going to say the earliest Jimmy Eat World material is not the same as what they were doing by Bleed American.
And no, but I think that's more of a like, we're figuring out what we're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think,
like, I don't think it was like a cynical, like, all right, you didn't like, you know, we're going to do that. You know, like, I think it's more, they were sort of growing into what, you know, they were young kids. So they were probably figuring out what, you know, what exactly they were looking to do.
Yeah. No,
I'm rather than be like, you don't like this one? How about this one? Like when you hear bands that's like, this record has an Oi tinge. This record has fucking parts that sound like Hatebreed.
Yeah. So then,
it's like, what are we doing? Like you're just flailing around hoping something hits.
We can say it and maybe, you know, this one's tough. The thrash metal influence in the late 80s in hardcore was the whole crossover scene. Yo, a lot of records that I love, Tom loves, Pat, I think you have some of these records that you vibe on too. But like, do I think that the fellas from AF are doing Cause for Alarm without help? Maybe not. do I think that if there wasn't the success of that stuff on a bigger way that we don't see hardcore bent that way? Maybe not. But I have to say this at the same time, I can also understand why somebody who likes punk music would hear Rain and Blood or Kill 'Em All or any of the other major thrash metal records of the, you know, 83 to 86 time frame or even before that, but and go, yo, this shit rips. Let's add this into our sound. Let's go. You know what I mean?
I'm right, sure. It's fast, aggressive. It's the same thing. It's just better played.
Yeah, amped up a bit. So I could, we could, I'm willing to bet there's probably a couple ugly intentions in that bin, but who would admit to it? I don't know. Who knows? But also a lot of it rips. So.
And especially back then, what's success?
Right.
Oh, right. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like Cro-Mags, you know, toured with fucking Motorhead and shit. Like, what did they expect? Like, what was AF, you know, like AF on Cause for Alarm or like, you know, AF that maybe Cause for Alarm, like in the years after that, they did like Tours of Obituary and kind of, you know, like they were like the hardcore band on a four band metal package.
You know,
like what was their expectation? I don't know if it's, I feel like back then there was such a glass ceiling that there was like, how far can we really get?
Here's a question.
Now, like the sky's the limit.
So it sounds like Tom's given his answer. Bob, here's a question for you.
Let's go.
When I say kid, I just mean somebody that's relatively young into their music career life, right? So a kid, is it more confusing is the concept of success in music more clear today or muddier today than it was in 1989?
Oh, fascinating. All right. Muddier. Because there's still different levels to the whole game. So that's not different, right? But there are different pathways to it. I mean, to be honest, right? Like, you're not a million. Patrick today told Patrick in 2003 how your bands were doing, how much you were, you know, quote unquote, how much you were making off your bands and music. The version of yourself 20 years ago would be like, yo, full success. What? Are you kidding? We can live off this. We are living on this. This is amazing. Unreal. That said, drug church, self-defense family are by no means giant bands. You know what I mean? Like, you're doing very well, but like, none of our moms know who your bands are.
No, you know my mom doesn't remember my band names.
That's right. So, and in 1989, there are certain things, you know, like the idea of being able to pay your rent, come home from a tour and pay your rent. Wow, nice. But I think in now you could be a musician. I mean, how many musicians are out there who are paying a mortgage on what they do that we don't know who the hell they are? Tons, you know? So there's a lot of different levels to it. And that could be said in 1989 too, but just there's a lot of different pathways now. So it is muddier now than it was then, even though there are some consistents, which are like the idea of like being able to support your lifestyle at whatever level you're at on the back of your art. Damn, it's pretty good.
Yeah. I wonder, because when we talk about like hardcore bands that transitioned into like crappy thrash or crappy, you know, metal, proper metal or whatever, or crappy rock. When we talk about those bands and we talk about kind of the assumption that they must have been chasing success, and they, you know, sometimes members will have now said that in zines and whatever, but it's probably true that also reflected some of their interests, right? Like, I don't know, I play pretty alienating music for most of my life. I also, you know, I happen to like Bob Seger. You know what I mean? So yes. it would not be a betrayal of my interest if I started to sound like Bob Seger. In fact, it would be pretty cool.
You're aiming, huh? Okay. All right.
So you might just suck at it.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Well, that's
I'm not saying you, but in general, like thinking about that. Like, oh, I like melodies and like harmonies, but like if I tried to do it on like a record and it's not like I'm going for the brass ring. I just like this, but then it's like, oh, yes. Well, this is never going to hit because you can't do it like the people that you like.
Yes. And yes. So I don't know. I'm just finding, I'm following these threads in every different direction right now, but I just think it's like trying to get a handle on success as the Cro-Mags, which is also, that's a really specific human experience. You know what I mean? You're talking about kids who came from legitimately nothing. So you would assume that, well, some of them came from legitimately nothing, but it came from legitimately nothing. So you would assume any bit of success would kind of be like winning the lottery. But then the flip side is they also were cool enough to have contact with some pretty big acts and see that up close. You know what I mean? So maybe a little bit of success was never going to be enough. You know, maybe it that didn't resonate for them. So I don't know. I find this stuff kind of interesting because we're in this moment where if you compared yourself to Turnstile, you'd drive your car the van right off a cliff. You know what I mean?
Right, say, right, oh, right, shit. Right.
But if you compared yourself, I mean, if you're old enough, which I guess is part of the, maybe not part of the problem, like certainly people like myself and Pat Flynn and Justice, we're all old enough, certainly, to compare ourselves to kind of the really anemic shows that were happening in big swaths of the 2000s. You know what I mean? Like there was some high points and some great shows and some moments. But there was also some really thin period.
Yeah, a lot of rough.
Yeah.
So
a lot of playing to the other band.
Right. And if I compare where I'm at right this moment, that is, you know, if all told in nowhere special, if you compare it to some of the absolutely dire.
The dreck.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like
you're Jason Newsted. Yeah, I'm a sellout. I sell out every seat in every venue every night.
So, I don't know. It's an interesting idea because how much does my age or experience buy me some perspective And does it have that same effect on everybody my age, or it can? I mean, we know the answer because we know people our age that are fucking delusional. So I don't know.
I mean, I think it gives you perspective because you've been, you know, like Drake, started from the bottom.
Yeah.
No.
But I don't know. Like, I mean, I think you have a different perspective than Pat and Justice would have.
Maybe. I mean, they both experienced
success way early on.
I really never did.
Shopify grows your business no matter how far or big you grow. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your fans' next favorite shirt or an exclusive piece of podcast merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in.
Right, until, like, you did well. I mean, it's not to say it's self-defense.
No, I've somehow been notable, but that's not the same as like having, you know, like Bob will tell you if he put out some of my records. It's not the same as, you know, kind of what those fellas experienced. You're
great,
right.
Great Punk Planet review. No end cap at Best Buy.
Yeah. So, you know, that, so that's actually a great point. Although, those fellas, even though their bands reached some real heights, they still know a hurt show. Do you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I mean, that was just a thing.
But I'm saying right now,
there's
some bands that have not experienced what I would describe as a hurt show. Now, granted, Self-Defense plays music with fucking one part. And my voice sucks. So we are, by nature, our hurt shows are going to be pretty hurt.
When they're hurt, they're hurt.
But what I mean is...
But I mean, imagine a half-heart show to dead silence. That's probably worse.
Oh, well...
You kind of get lost in your own shit. If someone's not singing along, then it's like, what am I doing?
I mean, I did their final tour.
I've seen some videos like that.
Yeah, I did their final tour, and not every show was a banger, you know?
Really?
Yeah, I was so disappointed.
Yeah, it's true.
I was so disappointed in Albany. Really, like, so everybody, it's been like 20 years, so I can say this. So disappointed in Albany, where they just did not turn out for Have Heart on their final tour in the way that, I mean, Have Heart had done great shows there previously, so... I have no idea what the vibe was or whatever, but everybody was washing their hair that night, and it was a bummer. But I guess what I'm saying is
played the wrong venue, bro.
Wrong. I mean, Upstairs Valentine's. My bad.
Isn't that usually how it goes? Oh, you should have played there. You should have played
there.
Oh
yeah, yeah, of course.
Oh, cool. Man. Thanks.
Should have played the Hudson Duster. So, yeah. But both those fellas know a hurt show. What I'm saying is, there's some people right now who know a not great show, but they have not experienced.
Like, they played in front of 50 kids minimally, no matter what.
So we're this is so fun. When I got into hardcore and first grip, I went to some local shows and. You know, local or really small stuff. It can be really small. You know what I mean? Especially I'm in New Jersey at the Shore. You know, I've been to VFW or club shows where it was like 30, 20, you know, 15 people. But right when I first started going, I went to bigger shows. They were doing pretty good. It was like the tail end of some of the floor punch stuff. band like Vision would play. There's several hundred kids there, et cetera. So like I had a certain expectation, like, okay, this is kind of a quote unquote local show. And if there's 75 kids there, it's awesome. But then if we go to a bigger show, there's going to be a lot of people there. But then a couple of years go by and I was going to shows where it was like, oh yeah, here's this band from DC is here and this band from California is here and this band's from wherever. There's 18 people here. Whoa. So it was like the fallow times hit.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering now, because we're, you know, we've been on some doom and gloom shit, but we're hoping not for it. And we're hoping we're breaking out of a cycle of it, is that we've seen this rise. Tom, you were saying it, like there's bands, there's people who have not had an experience of a show with less than 50 people probably right now, right?
Like we talked about that with Turnstile. We're like, yeah, do you ever have a, like their first show was like, Pain of Truth has never had a bad show. Their first shows are sold out.
That's right. So,
like that, you know what I mean? Like, meanwhile, like akin to this, like talking about a bad show, we played a show in Florida. We were like getting photos together for the Sound Majority show at the end of in December.
Yeah.
And like, there's a picture of us. There were so few people there. Both bands, and it was a house show. We set up across from each other and went song for song.
Yeah, that's great.
Because we were like, well, what are we gonna do? Let's make it fun for ourselves. So we'd be like Sound Majority song, and then we'd go Indecision song, and then go right back and forth until we played a full set.
So
because there was like 10 people there.
We should say though, in both Turnstile's case and Pain of Truth, the members individually have played really fucking hurt shows.
Oh yeah.
Because these are not their thus what was not their first band. So right.
I mean, there were some tough Jukai shows. There were some tough Nick X Fury shows. You know, like if you dig back. But I also think for the young audience, I just being a person in the crowd, a face in the crowd.
Yeah.
When you go from a certain expectation, it's like, oh wow, it's now I'm going to shows and I know it's going to be these 10 people, and maybe we get 10 others, and that's it at this show. You know, I remember many times, but a lot of shows at this VFW, the M&M Hall in Old Bridge, New Jersey. And it would be a band on tour and a band who like was sort of like known, or people were like, oh yeah, yeah, some band from Michigan. And it's like, oh, Nine Paid. It's like, yeah, ooh. Right. And I am hopeful that doesn't happen again. But just be aware. There have been very thick and heavy times where there's a ton of people at shows, and then recessions, if you will.
Yeah.
We're not predicting a hardcore recession, are we? I don't think so.
No. Well, everything that goes up goes down. So I am in that respect. You know what I mean? But
yeah, it's not gonna, it can't stay this way forever.
Right. But, maybe it can. But no, I'm not the Big Short here. I'm not expecting some type of implosion or something like that. I think being honest with ourselves is that it's a beautiful moment. Moments don't last. It doesn't mean there won't be other great moments, but you just enjoy things while they're here. If you're like me, you kind of, it's fun to speculate. I don't know why this is, but I'm at this juncture in my life where I find everybody's careers, if we want to use that word, otherwise just like journeys, but that sounds corny, whatever it is. I just find it other people's lives and their creative lives and the path that they take just totally fascinating. And so good, bad, or otherwise, like the stuff that we talk about, like we can't, I'm not going to say the names, but we were talking about a band before we went to air who is just, we want to say positive things about and we can't, right? Like it's just, these are cool people. Coldplay. This is we respect a lot of what they do, and it's just, but musically it's not there. Right. And, I, even though I don't like it, I'm like excited for the scam that they're essentially running. I'm excited for all of it, but I'm also interested when it goes bad, you know, like that's interesting. And I don't know. But that's hard. That part's harder to talk about because it's somebody else's life, you know, but
well, and it is. And to follow the thread out, there are bands that the three of us are looking at each other like Spider-Man meme and going, no, this is bad, right? Objectively, this is bad. And you're like, yeah, this is bad. It's bad. But seemingly there's still people for it. There's still people on it. And so one, that is to say that taste is subjective, even if we are a collective in this specific space. But what do you do with that? Like if it's something that you in your heart of hearts think and know, like, I do not understand. There's plenty of stuff that people like, you guys like, that my good friends like, that I don't like, but that I understand why, I see the appeal. What do you do when there's the thing that you don't even see the appeal, but it seems to be doing well? You celebrate the success of it, but like you said, Pat, it's like, do you feel it's like, wow, they're getting one. This is just skating by, huh?
I mean, and God
makes you feel 90. I tried to listen to Little Yachty the other day, and I was like, holy God damn it.
Oh yeah. No, that'll age you.
I was watching Joe Budden show, and they're talking about J. Cole doing a song with him. And I was like, I like J. Cole. Let me check the song. And I was like, oh my God.
You know, it's funny. A thing I'd like to point out is that what we call the dark ages, right? I just use this as my example all the time. So we assume that that time is this linear thing that runs concurrent to progress, but it's just objectively, demonstrably not true, because there's just dips where things are terrible for some amount of time. And you can say that there's an arc to history, and that might be fair enough, but there's just these dips. So I get annoyed when, if I don't like something young and stupid and I express that, then somebody tells me, well, you wouldn't get it because you're older, or it's not for you. And it's okay. Well, that could be true. Or it could be that you're going to find this completely fucking embarrassing and that I'm correct. Now, we won't know We won't know until things play out. But straight up, like, are you familiar with the band Blood on the Dance Floor? Which I only know because I only know that because...
Who do you think you're talking to? Am I familiar? No, I'm not familiar with Blood on the Dance Floor. Go ahead.
Well, there's a YouTuber who is just like really like, it just gets recommended to me all the time. This like prison YouTuber who is just like really fixated on like busting child molesters. And these guys have their share of allegations, Blood on the Dance Floor does. So that's why I became aware of Blood on the Dance Floor. But here's the deal. Like, that was, to some kid, that was what was popping and hot. And like people like me didn't get it. But now anybody could revisit that and go, holy shit, this was the dark ages. You know what I mean? Like, holy shit. What it was the wrong direction, right? So this is all to say,
what was that clunkcore band?
Dead
Hollywood. There was a singer and a scream. What was it?
Hollywood, are you asking the crunk core bands of the time? Hollywood Undead.
Hold on. He's going to pull out his iPhone. And
it wasn't Hollywood Undead because they're still around and they play like, they're like a Papa Roach like opener.
Yes.
Less
crunk. Bob and I actually have a friend that played in that band.
Oh, really? Neat. That's cool.
Yeah, he helped do your house.
Yes, we do. We do know him. Yes.
Amazing drummer and guitar player and everything else. No, what was the band? Oh, God damn it. It was like one guy sang and another guy just screamed arbitrarily.
I feel like that was every goddamn band.
No. This was like big for a second. It wasn't Blood on the, now I'm going to have to, now I'm going to have fucking crunkcore in my goddamn algorithm. Broken Side.
Oh, Broken Side. Sure. So
we're going to, Pat, can we,
how many other albums do you have on your iTunes, Pat?
You know what? Might be time.
Can we open this episode with Broken Side so people go, what the fuck? And then they get to this point and they go, oh.
Okay, yeah, it's a callback. All right, I get it. But, okay, do you guys follow that? Like, let's just do it in hardcore. There's been moments in hardcore where somebody could go, hey, old man, you don't fucking get it. And time has bared out that that's true. The old man just didn't get it. But then there's been other times that it's bared out that, oh, no, wait, this was just new. And by virtue of the fact that you were new, you thought it was good.
Mm.
But now in retrospect, nobody on earth thinks this is good.
But I think also people's palates, old person palates in 2023 are a lot more varied than,
oh, that's a fact.
You know, the old punk in 1988 or 86 that was like the Age of Quarrel. What is this fucking metal shit?
Mm. Yeah, sure.
You know what I mean? Now it's like, it sounds like, you know, like it's the hardcore record. But like, I think, you know, as things grow up, like, you know, the people like Pat that grew up listening to Earth Crisis, you know, like, you know, a band like Jesus Piece, you know, if for someone that listened to, you know, like, you know, grew up listening to 10 Yard Fight, Jesus Piece, mm-hmm. like, what, wow, what is happening?
Yep.
It's so different. Oh,
God. Yeah.
But like for Pat, like, it's the next, like, logical step from the stuff, you know, the metal core that we listened to in the 90s. Like, this is obviously the next, you know, things take it to its next logical extreme. And this is the next logical extreme. So it's not as much of a jump. But like, if you're like a guy that listened, you know, grew up listening to fucking DOA and then like you heard Judge, you'd be like, what the fuck?
Yeah. There's a member of a hardcore band. I won't say his name just because it opens a can of worms, but he is unapologetically into what he's into, which is to say, meat and potatoes hardcore, ranging from, you know, ranging from 1980 to 1990.
You know? Sure. Yep. Yep. Yep.
And that's it. And he and I always got on well, but he thought, for example, Self Defense was Sonic Youth. You know what I mean? Like, he thought it was like, just, you know, like, you guys are on some art shit, which is just, if you, you know, I mean, come on, man. Like, it's, you know,
Pat's saying that like blushing. Oh, stop. Stop. Yeah, no.
Yes. All right. We are goo. Okay. All right.
No, but what I'm saying is that like, there is our own, that would be an example. And he is an older fellow. That would be an example of of old guy palette, right? Where anything that falls outside of your, you know, prescribed understanding of the genre of hardcore is strange and unlikable and whatever. And look, on a recent episode, I said I was available to the conversation that Knocked Loose is not a hardcore band, right? Now, to a lot of our listeners, they're going, duh. And then to some of our listeners, and maybe actually equal number of our listeners, they're going, come on, you old piece of shit. So here's the thing is, and once again, I don't make any decisions for this culture. So my feelings don't matter. It's just to say that, It is, we should be, all sides of these conversations, I'm grateful for the passion that they have, but everybody should be measured, because you really don't know what's going to come off as just a fucking complete moment where everybody wakes up and goes, whoa, NFTs were wild, huh? You know what I mean? Where they go, whoa, all right. Well, I was kind of in that.
You just
thing.
Don't get it, Grandpa. That's like the future of money, man.
Right. Well, that's the thing, right?
Like, and then a year later, we're like, angry ape, what the fuck?
Yeah, we can't sell our I was just about to sound really old because I almost said Bathing Ape, which is a clothing company from whatever.
Wow.
You can't really sell those either anymore, I don't think.
Well, you're on the Wayback Machine right now. All right.
So we all get what I'm saying here, right? Is that we don't know until we know. Not all youth movements are equal, you know? So, I don't know. I love to watch it play out though. I really do. And I don't know. I am normally the guy that's very skeptical of new bands. I like everybody to put a little bit of time in, become good before I give a shit about you. There's a band I definitely won't say this fucking band's name, but I really liked their record. And then I went and watched live footage of them, and it was a repellent mess that made me want to purge the memory of the record from my brain. That's how bad it was. And it's part of the journey, obviously. Cool, right? But the idea that somebody is going to imprint on that band as what's going on right now, I don't think that they're going to feel as strongly about that. I think that's like, give it a couple years, and unless that band becomes really great, I think that people's memory, you know, people that are moshing to them right now, having a great time, I think their memories are going to be, feel different. And that doesn't, I was searching for bands that, kind of, this is a different conversation than being written out of the canon, because we've talked about how bands like Outbreak were 100% bigger than
people acknowledge,
or than a lot of the bands, a lot of their contemporaries that we continue to talk about ever were. So for people that don't understand, Outbreak was, Bob, you would have a better handle on this. I don't know if you ever printed merch for them or not. If you had to guess, per head merch sales.
I don't even want to guess. It was more than any band you can think of. So, I mean, let me put it this way. They were one of the headliners of the first Sound of Fury. They were one of the last few bands who played.
Shit, that's true.
Wait, were they? Were they on that show? No, they maybe they were the second year. But they were, I think maybe 2007. They played late. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. Like, it's... I just need people to know, like, they were one of the biggest bands of that time. They were pretty influential in terms of the sound. And I mean, look, I actually saw someone big up in Hoax as being, I think it was Ace, with his podcast Form of Passion, was saying that Hoax has some big influence on the current sound of punk and hardcore. And you know what? I think that might be true. But I think there's bands like Outbreak and then Ceremony's early material and stuff like Trash Talk, this kind of manic, fast, blasting, modern hardcore version, where it's like, I wouldn't call any of those bands power violence or grind or anything close to grind, but there's blasting and parts to it that pushed it away and out of like anything you could say like, oh, this is strictly 80s hardcore. It's like, oh, not really, you know? And they were huge. They did really well. And, you know, I always had a funny perspective because when I moved to California, there were bands who were so much bigger there than when I lived on the East Coast. And one consistent was, no matter what shows, when I'd be home visiting and went to some shows, or if I was, when I was in California, there were Outbreak shirts at every goddamn show, full stop. Doesn't matter what.
Your scum was style. Like,
yeah,
like the Avail patch of the 2000s.
Yeah. Oh God. Okay. Yeah. Let's put that on the pile. Defining merch. Stickers, merch, and ephemera of timeframes. We're doing it.
But I feel like some of those other bands get acknowledged. Like you mentioned Trash Talk and Ceremony. Like, I think if you ask any of the younger folks now that are playing fast or hardcore, those are the bands that they point out.
Yeah,
but I think Outbreak,
yep,
kind of gets forgotten.
Yeah, they don't get mentioned.
Oh, definitely, no doubt.
Like compare, and I think that's just as part of the DNA as the other two.
Yeah,
I mean, I think that if we, it would be interesting to do, and we, I guess we, fuck it. Listen, everybody. Sorry, I guess I don't know. Some people don't like the word pussy. This, there's nobody on this podcast that's a pussy. We all deal with your bullshit. Like, we get the DMs when you're mad. It's fine, but sometimes it's not worth everybody's hurt feelings. So I don't know how we talk about this, but it would be fascinating to talk about things that were, for lack of a better word, for lack of a better phrase, and I mean this respectfully, flash in the pan. Like, and that could be a minor flash in the pan. I'm speaking right now very respectfully. These are bands that I have no problem with. Something like Trail of Lies, right? Trail of Lies was, when we started this podcast, there was a lot of speculation that they were going to be doing things. Part of that was they had like a really on-point merch game, as stupid as that sounds. Like, they had it dialed in, and they knew what their audience liked, and they liked it too, and they did it. And then that didn't happen the way it was supposed to go. So that's like a minor.
They had a viral video.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. And that's like kind of like a minor, oh yeah, remember that moment. And then there was stuff that was bigger, like Gloss, for example, started to get some mainstream adjacent press, right?
Yeah, yes, they did.
And that was a moment. And so
what would happen?
What's that?
I wonder what happened.
What happened? So I don't know. It's hard to talk about. I say Trail of Lies because in the limited capacity that I've met those fellas, they all seem like they would understand where I'm coming from with this.
It's better to have a flash in the pan than nothing at all.
100%. It's also not
to be the hot shit for a year. That's most bands would fucking sign up for that tomorrow.
For sure. So, but there's a difference though, right? There's a difference between a moment, a wave, a flash in the pan. These are all different things, and it would be fun to be able to put a finger on them, but people are profoundly sensitive weirdos.
I mean, I can't say that I wouldn't feel the same way though. Like,
I try
say these things like as if like they're the weirdos. I think you're the weirdo that doesn't give a shit. But if like someone was like, bands that were popping in the 90s that no one cares about, and they're like Indecision, I'd be like, fuck you.
By the way, I should say that a member of the band, Breathe or Resist, was a fan of this podcast until he heard me talk about his band. I'm going to that gentleman, I'm going to say that one of the YouTubers, maybe Baby Jesus or one of those, put your records up a couple months ago. I listened to them all. I was wrong about Breathe or Resist.
You're back in. Good. You're on the boat. All right. Thanks, baby. Good. Thanks, baby Jesus.
Thanks, baby Jesus.
Thanks, YouTuber baby Jesus.
I'm pretty sure they're all on Spotify.
I think he's going on to big things, this Jesus fella. Listen, like his YouTube channel, though.
I love those YouTubers that just put up new hardcore records, like seemingly at random. Like they'll put that up, and then they'll put up, crossed out the same day, and you'll be like, these, I wouldn't expect that. Oh, this guy's just literally cataloging anything that falls under the umbrella of hardcore. It's cool.
Do you think if Jesus was alive now, he'd be a YouTuber?
That's a great question.
TikTok. Yeah, you're right. He'd be on that new shit.
Maybe on that new shit. Yeah.
He'd be like spreading his word. Just
kind of a
like,
trendy.
30 seconds of me turning over tables at the market.
I'm gonna send you something. Yeah, he's kind of, no. You know what he is? He's a YouTube a prank YouTuber. He's flipping. He's
like David Blaine for like the 2023s.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Right, book. I have
what happened to my water? Oh my god!
hold on, I'm gonna
Jesus.
I'm gonna get my stepdad bag for a second here. Bob,
son, come in here.
Yeah.
Does your son watch YouTube?
He only watches a few things. He's actually, in his class, he's one of the ones who doesn't watch a lot of YouTube. Like, there's kids in his class who, are very in on the Mr. Beast and lots of YouTube stuff. Yeah. Yeah. So,
cause today, it was just, my stepson is off, from school. This is their holiday here. And he just sat with me all day. I was at my desk and he sat beside me. It's very nice to have his company.
That's very nice. Yeah.
But he, started watching these YouTube videos where it's Roblox. It's like somebody doing fun things in Roblox, I guess. But to keep kids' attention, they just basically chain these. It's like links in a chain of like meme reference after meme reference after meme. So it felt like I was it felt like I was in an like a Adderall addict's brain as he or she falls down the stairs. It was
meme assault, right?
I had to get up and excuse myself because, you know, you don't want to say, hey, you can't really say to a kid because you never want to poo-poo a kid's interests, right? That's like the worst vibe ever is like when you're telling a kid like what you're into is weird or you shouldn't like
it. Sucks, right? Yeah. It's not a good vibe. Yeah.
That's a bad vibe. So, but I had to like, I was like, yeah, I'm gonna go get a water. And I just had to walk around the house vacantly because I was like, that was honestly the most overwhelming like piece of media I've ever seen. I've watched like Death, the Ultimate Horror, or Faces of Death 1-7. I'm watching monkeys' skulls get cracked open, and it was way easier on me.
there's a type of those YouTube videos that are made, Tom, no joke. You would think they were trying to give you a seizure with how quick the cuts are.
Yeah.
And it's not just like the cut from like not just visual but audio. It's like it would be like if Pat clipped every second of space between our words. It's like, yeah, boom, it's outrageous.
Right. It's not,
and we
it's
wonder
not
why that. All our kids got the ADHD.
Oh, these kids these days.
For real.
They all got the attention deficit disorders out there because everything is too.
But I don't know where we were at.
Follow Jesus on YouTube and TikTok.
Yeah, that's right.
Shout out to Kyle from the fight.
Shout out to Kyle from the fight. Shout out.
We're with you, buddy.
Shout out.